You're listening to a sermon of Meadowbrook Church in Ocala, Florida. For more media resources, visit us online at www.nbcocala.com.
I have a word this morning. I've just been asking the Lord to do more and more of this. How many of you know what I mean by a word? It's a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecy, so forth. And this just started to just really grow in my heart yesterday in a time of prayer. And this morning, I just really knew what it was for, and it was for this morning. And I felt I was to share it first service, and I did, but I feel like it's even more particular for this service, for somebody or somebodies in this service. And it pretty much, this is what I feel the Holy Spirit put in my heart to encourage you with this morning. And it is this: you're facing something, and you're not to panic. You're to hold on. And there's three things. Now watch this. Some things will pass. Some things will change. And some things will end up being a new normal for you. But you will be okay. So you're to trust and you're to rest. I want to say it one more time. Some of you are facing something. You're facing something. It would cause you to be in fear. It would cause you to be panic. But the Holy Spirit would say, don't panic. Just hold on. Just hold on and watch. Because some things are going to pass that are facing you right now. Some things will change, and some things will be your new normal. But you're going to be okay. So you trust and you rest. Amen? All right. And we receive that from the Lord. And if that's you, I want to hear about it later, because God is faithful. He wouldn't take our time to just do something like that. Amen? All right. Well, let me talk to you real quick about Saturday nights. Beginning Easter weekend. Okay, cheer up. That was good news. Yeah, sometimes, you know, Holy Spirit gives us something. We're like, that was great news. Okay, now, Saturday nights beginning Easter weekend. That's the 23rd, 24th, I believe. So it's right at a month away. In church world, especially in the United States, once you reach about 80% capacity, you are slam full. It's unique to the United States because we are the way we are. And it does not have to do just with the sanctuary. It has to do with parking. It has to do with hallways and children's rooms and nursery and everything else. And so we have been in, quote, violation of this 80% rule for a while. And what it does, that impedes your growth at that point. And we're at a place because we're having a good surge of growth really across the ministry. We have to, first of all, accommodate for that growth. The other thing is we need to make room to expand. We need to make room for folks. I've had two people share this with me this morning, and this hurts me in my gut. I'm not kidding you. That they have invited friends recently who came and got near the parking lot. One of them got in the parking lot and said, they're full. They're full, and actually left. And so what we want to do is we want to make room. And if every church in this town were filled to capacity, because we're not in competition with anybody. Matter of fact, we're out for conversion growth and not just transfer growth. Y'all hear me? And if every church in this town were full to the gills, there would still be more people in this town not in church than would be in church. And we've got a community to touch. We've got a region to reach. And we've got good news and good things going on here. And we're going to make room for them. So this is what I need y'all to do. Start to welcome folks. Shortly, we're going to put some tools in your hands as far as some literature and some and different things to help folks. We're gonna probably get some digital billboards and some other things so that we can let the community know we are making room for you to get them in here. Now, I really think Saturday night is going to go incredible. So my concern is not so much having Saturday night full, but not emptying out Sunday mornings, you know, so we'll work all that out. I also need an army, hear me, an army of people to volunteer and to help. And maybe what you do is you serve on Saturday and come to church on Sunday, or you go to church on Saturday and you serve on Sunday, or whatever the case would be. And we'll have enough people, then we can rotate and so forth. That's going to be awesome, awesome stuff. But we've got to accommodate our current family, And then we've got to make room, which is a wonderful problem. And I'm believing, God, that before calendar year is up, maybe even before we get into the fall, that we're full on all three. And what are we going to do then, preacher? Don't know, but it's going to be awesome, you know, when we get here. Because, listen, the whole reason that we're here is to touch people and to reach people and to do that. It's not about, you know, I don't want it to grow. I like having a seat on either side of me. Listen to me. These chairs, do you know what these chairs are for? These are people holders. And they're all going to be full in Jesus' name, because we're going to reach everybody that we can reach. And I celebrate that. So you get on board and get ready and start spreading the word. There's already great buzz and great excitement. And share that with your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers. I was talking with a gentleman yesterday at a little basketball league thing. And he has friends that are in the horse industry or live a ways out. And they cannot make Sundays work. And they're thrilled about coming on a Saturday night. So we're just making room all over the place. So it's going to be good stuff. Amen. All right. Well, let's get into the word. Thank you all, both of you. We're in a series entitled Main Things. The main thing is to keep the main thing, main thing. We have around here what we call the Meadowbrook Mandate. And we have that booklet. I believe we're currently out. Are we out? And they've been... We got them. They got in. We ran out, which is a good problem. And we got them reprinted. And they're here. So you can get those. It's free. And talks to you about what our mandate is. And it basically is the Lord high and lifted up, the church, that the church would grow spiritually, that grow in maturity, so that then the third thing is the world, that we would be salt and light in the world, taking Christ into culture. And then number four, the poor, local and global. What do we do about that? How do we handle that in right ways? So we're kind of unpacking this mandate with main things. We've spent a couple weeks talking about the Lord being high and lifted up. And last week we started talking about the church, and I only got halfway through my message, and it's your fault. Because the way y'all were pulling it, just kind of, we had to camp out a couple places. But we're going to continue on the church today. I believe that church is God's plan A. I believe that the church is the hope of the world. I believe that the church done right is the greatest thing going on this planet. It's God's program. I think gone is the day of the big TV Christian superstar kind of thing and huge crusades and stuff. They've all had their time and their place. And I really believe the most effective way, especially in light of our whole culture and everything that's going on, it has to be relational. It has to be relational. And the local church is God's plan A. This is how he wants to get his love, his light, his word, his invitation to his family. That's how he wants to get it out. And he has local churches all over the place. And I'm going to go ahead and say this too, because it's been my heart. I don't know how we're going to do this yet, but we're going to find some regions. We're going to find some places where there, quote, are no churches, or churches that are really moving and doing something for God. And we're going to start to raise up. Some of y'all got some gifts and callings in you, and we want to start pulling you in. And I'm speaking ahead, and my staff is probably looking at me like, what's he talking about? Start to just raise up and train up some leaders, everything from worship leaders to pastors to sound men to whatever. And I believe that before we finish everything, we're going to find some areas, and we're going to move some families to some areas and plant some churches and get this, get the word of God. Maybe to some of our internet cities, even. Now, it's not going to happen next week, and don't ask me anything, because I don't know anything yet. It's just kind of coming in my heart. We saw last week that church, well, let me put it this way, that ministry really is about, much of it is people repair. Just life. How many of you have incurred damage just living? And then we have things that happen, just they happen, course of life, or careless people, or selfish people, or whatever, and that hurts and causes damage. And we've got crisis and process as a part of life. And then, here's the other one. Then we make wrong decisions or go in the wrong direction. How many of you have ever incurred damage because you went the wrong direction, made the wrong decision? Come on. How many of you can no longer lift your arm because of that decision? Okay. All right. And what happens, we end up damaged. We end up damaged in our confidence, in our emotions, in how we think, our self-worth, our future, our name, our relationships. We end up damaged. And part of the purpose of the church is to bind up the brokenhearted. And part of the church is to, you know, beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. It's to help those that are hurting. And so part of the ministry and function of the church really is to be like a hospital almost. But also, and I hesitate to use this word, but follow me on this, it's also like a factory. Because we not only repair, we also prepare. And so it's a time that we raise up people in the way that they should go so that they don't head up in the wrong direction. They don't make the wrong decisions. That they're better equipped and better armed and better trained to be able to walk and live in this life. And to understand that part of life is crisis and process. And they can be prepared for that. So that's part of the church too. I quoted to you from Dear Abby last week that the church is like a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints. And I would go so far as to say it's not just a hospital for sinners. It's a hospital for all of us. Because we all, you know, that David spoke of a shepherd and said, he restores my soul. He restores my soul. He feeds me and he refreshes me and he does those things. We all have to do that. And that's part of church as we understand it. I read to you a quote by Irwin McManus. I love Irwin's ministry. He said, when have we forgotten that the church doesn't exist for us? We are the church and we exist for the world. So we've got to be the church. We've got to become the church and not just come to church. Church is a whole lot more than just you know, getting your car parked and grabbing you a latte and finding your row. Somebody's sitting in my seat. Get used to it. Get used to it. If you're that possessive of your seat, then bring your own, okay? Or we'll get you a special spot or something. Okay. The church, and there's so much I could teach on this. Actually, I've done before a 16-week series on what I'm about to teach you. So we're going to be here probably till about midnight. No, we're not. The church in the world today is the body of Christ. So we are, everybody say we are, as the church, the body of Christ. Let me read you some scripture real quick. And we're going to move kind of fast this morning. And he put all things under his feet. Ephesians 1, 21 and 23. He put all things under his feet, Jesus' feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And so we see that the church is the body of Christ. Colossians 1:18, and he, Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. So we see that the church is the body of Christ. And so we've got to, and this is my challenge and my assignment this morning, is to help us to think and to live and to function as a body. And what would happen if we actually started to live and think and function as a body? It's going to be incredible. Because for you as an individual to be able to experience abundant life, and abundant life is not once we're in heaven, that's a given. The context in which Jesus told us about that, John 10:10, he said, the thief comes, will the thief be in heaven? No, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I am come that you may have life. The Amplified Bible says, have it to the full till it overflows. He came that we might have abundant life. For you and I to have abundant life, that's not a problem-free life. That's not a perfect life. That's an overcoming life. That's a blessed life. For us to have that, and also for God's plans and purposes to be accomplished in the earth, then we must understand and we must function as a body, the body of Christ. Now, the body is such a wonderful picture, such a wonderful analogy of what God intends. Why? Because we can all relate to it. How many of you here have a body? Okay, some of y'all are spooking me out. How many of you have a body? Now, I didn't say you were totally pleased with yours. Or some of y'all are really proud. You like stood up and go. You know, we all got things we like and don't like about ourselves. You know, you got to take a picture. No, get it on this side. And make sure you get this, you know. And we, you know, but we can all relate because we have a body. He has a body. It's not just like a body. This is a body. And it functions like a body. How many of you know that your body is for your body? And your body helps your body. So when you go, well, that's my problem. No, it all works. All works together. It's not just an organization, although it is highly organized. It is an organism. It's a living thing. And the body is to do what Jesus did. The body is to do what Jesus would do if he were here in bodily form. We are to do what he did. We are to do what he, as the head, prompts us and directs us to do. So I want to share with you this morning two relationships and two revelations. Okay, so bear with me. I'm going to move fast. I wish I could spend a whole lot of time on this. But we'll start out here. Two relationships. A relationship is also, and 2011 is a year of what? Oh, that is so 2010, bro. Connections. Everybody say connections. 2010 was growth, and we'll continue on growth. Okay? But connections. If you're related, if you have a relationship, then you're connected. Your relationship is in trouble when you kind of lose your connection. So we're all to have these two relationships, and the first one is right here to the head. You as a part of the body must have a connection with the head. You as a part of the body must have a connection, a relationship with the head. And the head is Jesus. Y'all hear? You've got to be connected. As one wise Spartan said, it's always best to keep your head on. And if there's any interruption between here, central command right here, if you get any interruption, then things are not going to go well here. If you lose the signal, I'm glad we're not wireless. We are wired. Y'all understand me? We have miles of wiring within us. So we don't get interference there. But things sometimes go wrong or whatever. But you do not want to live independent of the head. So what does that look like? It means that God is first in your life and you worship him only. That you seek to glorify him and obey him. That he is first in your life. That his word has final authority in your life. And there's no two ways about it here. You're going to have daily communion with God. Now by communion, I'm not talking about a little cup with juice and a cracker. I'm talking about intimate fellowship with God. You're going to, and you know, I'd love to make it a little more convenient for all of you. But if you're really going to grow, if you're really going to be connected, if you're really going to make a difference, if you're really going to have fulfillment and joy in your life, if you're really going to be able to overcome in this life, if you're really going to be able to keep yourself together even just through lunch on a daily basis, you're going to have daily and early communion with the head, with Jesus. I'm sorry, there's no other way. You're going to have to sit down with him. Well, that's just kind of hard for me. Listen, if you get thirsty enough, you'll get out of bed. Do you hear me? You get thirsty enough, you'll get out of bed. And you need to just say, God, give me a thirst, and he will. Have you ever had somebody give you medication before? I know sometimes before the dentist, they're going to do some work. They'll go, before you come, an hour before you come, take this pill, and it will dry you out. You know, so that you're not all slobbery and they can do the work. Is that all right that I said that? Some of you are all like. And for them, that's a wonderful invention. But how many of you know, you take that little pill in about 30 minutes, you're like. Mr. Gilligan, the dentist, will see you now. Okay. You know, just. I pray that God would do that to you. In a thirst for him. A thirst for him. And you get thirsty enough, you'll get out of bed. You'll get out of bed. But you're going to have to spend time with him. You know, how foolish of us to think that we can start our day as late as possible, grab a Pop-Tart and a juice box, do your makeup in the car, not me, you. And then, you know, we'll talk to God later, like after lunch. How dare you? Why would you want to start your day and not talk to your sponsor, your creator, your redeemer, the one who can already see what's ahead? Instead of, I'm fine. I just, Pop-Tart, strawberries, really good. And you're just, you know, rushing into your day. You need to stop and you need to have relationship and connection with the head. Walk with him, talk with him, confer with him. There's things all along that you don't know that he knows. How many of you would admit there are things he knows you don't know? Amen. How many of you have ever lost something before? And we go, it's gone, it's gone, it's gone. And he knows where it is. The other day, we were left on a little trip, and I won't tell you who, but one of our family members lost something and just said, it's gone, it's gone. Somebody's taken it, we lost it, we left it or something. And so the whole family, we're looking around for it. And I always do this when we're missing something. I prayed and I said, Holy Spirit, you know where it's at. But I went ahead and did due diligence. I looked everywhere. I looked in the cars. I looked in every cabinet. I looked under things, in things. Went all over the place, just looked. I asked questions. And I just had a peace on the inside. I had a peace that it was there. And then I went into the one who lost it. And I said, honey, I call everybody honey. I said, I've just got a piece. I said, just cast your care. And I promise you, and she's right here as a witness. She turned and I wasn't even finished with my sentence. And she opened this drawer. And there it was. He knows. Tax time's coming up and you're going, where's that paper? Where's that? He knows. Unless you're just horrible and you ate it or something, you know. Relationship to the head. You've got to have it. Got to have it. Secondly, and this is huge, relationship to the rest of the body. How many of you know that you're not in this thing alone? Well, you're not in this thing alone. What does that look like, relationship to the rest of the body? First of all, just on a local level, I want you to look around at the body real quick. Just look. Well, what part are they? That's not. Here's what it looks like. Relationship, proper relationship to the rest of the body. It's unity. It's loving. It's serving. It's helping. It's cooperating. It's caring. It's forgiving. And it should all be so very natural. It should just be natural because for your body, I mean, you help your body. Doesn't your body help your body? I mean, when you put shoes on this morning, didn't your hands help your feet? Then they go, no, we don't do shoes. We don't need shoes. We're hands. No, they get involved. And you know, we didn't have to have a meeting about it. We didn't have to do all this. They just work together. And it's so natural, you don't even have to hardly train them. And if something happens during the day, oh, we got something in there, you know. And the whole body gets involved. And I don't care what you do. The mouth always gets involved. You can thread a needle. You can take that, get the thread, and what do you do? It gets involved in everything. And listen. So watch the mouth, okay? But your body is involved in everything. Watchman Nee said the three C's of living in the body. Don't compete. Don't compare. Don't complain. Your body doesn't compete. Your body doesn't compare. Your body doesn't complain. You're going to check the mail. I mean, the left hand and right hand are going, no, it's my turn. No, it's me. It doesn't do that. I work hard for you people. All right. Listen to scripture here. 1 Corinthians 12:25-27, the Amplified. So that there should be no division or discord or lack of adaptation of the parts of the body to each other. But the members all alike should have a mutual interest in and care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the parts share the suffering. We felt the body the last couple of weeks. And if one member is honored, all the members share in the enjoyment of it. Now you collectively are Christ's body and individually you are members of it. Each part severally and distinct, each with its own place and function. Romans 12 verse 4 and 5. For as in one physical body, everybody say body. We have many parts, organs, members, and all these parts do not have the same function or use. So we, as numerous as we are one body in Christ. What's this next part? The Messiah. And individually, we are parts one of another, mutually dependent on one another. How many of you know that we need one another? And if we could start to think and live and function as a body, oh, it would just be incredible as we do this. All blessings come through relationships. Relationships keep you connected. Nurture comes from every relationship. The devil's plan is to isolate you. The devil's plan is to cut you off somehow, to make you feel like they don't need you, or to make you feel like I don't need them. And that's his plan, is to isolate. But God's plan, God's design, is that we're all a part of the body and we all bring something. We all have something to contribute to the focus of the body. You don't think about your kneecap till you hurt it. And we've got all the parts of the body and they just work together. Which of you would give up any part of your body? I mean, I fought long and hard just over my bangs. It's none of your business. But I mean, we need all the parts of the body, and we're all different. We all have our part to play, but we have to have a proper relationship with all of those around us. Your ultimate impact in life is determined by who and what you're connected to. Now, I want to share with you two revelations. Come on. What is a revelation, first of all? A revelation is more than just information. A revelation is, I get it. I see it. And usually it's something that God helps you to give, that you give a revelation. Let me read to you a couple verses here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. Are you still here? Just a few more minutes here. Paul said, Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you've been called by God. Always be humble. Now think about body. Think about all the body parts. Think about you. Think how your body works. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding. Everybody say binding. We'll come back to that. United in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. That word binding in some of the other translations is the word bond. And it's the bonds of peace. The word bonds right there in the Greek is actually a body term. It has to do with your anatomy. It means a joint tie or a ligament. Your body is held together by your ligaments. Y'all with me? It helps to tie everything together. Joint ties, ligaments, is what holds your body together. Well, what holds the body of Christ together, the bond, the ligament, the binding that holds the body of Christ together, is peace. That we would be at peace with one another. Y'all stay with me. That we would love one another, that we would serve one another, that we would help one another, that we would forgive one another, that we would make allowances for one another. They're having a day, you know what? I'll cheer them on. They're going through something, I'll see if I can help them. I'll pray for them. I'll cheer them on. You know what? That's something I could help with. Let me do this. And it's the body. The thing that holds us together, follow me, is peace. And I want to give you two revelations that keep us as a body, as individuals together. And I'm talking about you with your brothers and sisters. I'm talking about us as a church. I'm talking about the church universally. The thing that holds us together is peace. And there's two revelations. Let me talk about them here locally for us that you must have. The first one is the revelation of imperfection. Everybody say imperfection. What does imperfection mean? Not perfect. Not perfect. The first thing you've got to do is realize not perfect. Only Jesus is perfect. Let me illustrate it this way. If you're dating or you're courting, okay, and I don't know if they use that word much anymore, courting, you know, it's pretty much you're preparing for marriage. You're dating very seriously. You're thinking of marriage. Well, during that time, how many of you know that they are just dreamy and perfect? You know, and everything about them. I just can't even concentrate because they're so perfect. And we're that way, you know, and you take extra time to prepare before you see each other. Ladies are taking hours. Guys are taking maybe a half hour. Get all ready. We smell good. We got our best manners. We do all this. And it's just all dreamy. And then we decide, will you marry me? Yes, I will. It's going to be dreamy and it's going to be perfect. And then you get married. Hold on. Hold. And the ideal meets the real. And now suddenly dreamy has morning breath. And who put the toilet paper on that way? We've got problems. And toothpaste in the sink? The clothes behind the door? What happened? The ideal met the real. I have people all the time that come to the church, this is so incredible, this is just perfect, and this is just that, and this, and this, and this. And I always want to say to them, come back another couple of weeks. Because I want to be relieved, and I want to relieve you. That this building is not perfect, the AC is not perfect, the sound is not perfect, the pastor's not perfect, the pastor's family's not perfect, the programs are not perfect, the staff is not perfect, the song service is not perfect, the message is not perfect, parking's not perfect, none of it is perfect. Oh, and I forgot one. And the people who come here are not perfect. Now, but let me take another tack on that. You don't have to be perfect. If you got in trouble last night with the law, I hope you're here this morning. If you went and did something last night that, what was I even thinking? Or this past week, I hope you're here today. We got a little saying around here, I'm either up or I'm getting up. I don't mind telling you, the last couple of weeks, my family, we've been getting up. We don't have to pretend for you that we're perfect. Well, the joy of the Lord is my strength and nothing bothers me. Except fake Christians. You can just be real. You can be you. You just be you, full of God. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect. You can come scars and all. And as time moves on and as God continues to do what he's doing here, you're going to have people show up that are going to be much more scarred than you. And they are welcome, 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 welcome. Imperfection. And we relieve all of us. You know, just be really good. Those of you that are courting, just before you get together, you know, pick up for dinner or something, don't brush your teeth all day, just so they'll know. We still on? You know? Okay. That's why I don't do marriage counseling. But yeah. One more. I got to hurry. The other is a revelation of diversity. Everybody say diversity. Meadowbrook Church is, the kingdom of God is, and we celebrate it. Multicultural, multigenerational. Let me just tell you something. If you ever go into a place, and listen, our unity really comes from our diversity. We should celebrate diversity and variety. If you ever go into a place and everybody looks alike and sounds alike and everything else, that's weird. Either that or you just joined the army. That's two different things. But if you ever go into church and everybody's got to look alike and sound alike and do anything, that's weird. Because there's diversity in the body of Christ. Now hang with me these last few moments. I don't have time to read this to you right now, but 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14 through 27. Write that down. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14 through 27. And it will also be in our echo. You can go online and find that, and we print those. It's the notes of the sermons. And it pretty much says this. We're all a body, but we're made up of a whole bunch of different parts. And none of the parts are the same. And the hand never says to the foot, we don't need you. And the eye never says to the hand, we don't need you. And what if the whole body were an eye? That just would not work. Well, we got all these different functions and all the different variety that makes up the body. And you know what? That's what happens here. We all have different giftings and different backgrounds and culturally and educationally and color and gifts and taste and variety and all of those things. And that's what the body of Christ is. That's what a body has to be. For your body to work, like I said before, you can't be just one big eyeball rolling around. It takes all the different parts to work together to accomplish and to be the body of Christ in the earth today. And we celebrate that. So listen to me real carefully, and I'm about to finish here. Not every song will be your favorite. Not every program will be your favorite. Not every sermon will be your favorite. But I want you to listen to me, and I want you to get this. I've been driving toward this point. But we will make every effort to minister to you. But please never forget that you're a part of a body. And the whole body needs ministry. And because we're multicultural, multigenerational, we all need some different things. And if you think, well, I'm the hand on the body, and I like everything my favorite. I want manicure. I want lotion. I want massage. I want gloves when the going gets tough, or just sometimes to look good. And if we just think it's all about us, all about us, all about us, and then we'll get offended then if any care goes to the foot or a knee that's injured or a scratch in the middle of the back or something's in the eye. Listen, we're going to make every effort to minister to you. We're going to make every effort to minister to you, but please never forget you're part of a body. And you should rejoice when you say, hey, that's not my favorite song, but you know what? That's ministering to somebody over there. That's not my favorite sermon or what. I wish he'd talk about this or this or that, you know. But you know what? It's ministering to a part of the body. We're going to do our very best to minister to you and to help you to grow. But please, as we grow, never forget we're part of a body. Now, I'll just leave you with this question. What would it be like? What will it be like when we really start to think and live and act as a body? Think how your body helps your body. I mean, have you ever got something in your eye? I mean, we'll do everything to try to help that. You bump the funny bone. You get an itch in the middle of your back. You suddenly got some sharp pains or whatever. You know what? The rest of the body immediately it's mobilized. Just immediately. You get a cut. And just on the inside, like I said, I've talked 16 weeks on this. It may have felt like 16 for you here this morning. But immediately your body inside and out begins to work to help, to heal, to get through the situation that you're in. It is a wonderful thing to be a part of the body of Christ. Let us get a revelation that these relationships, your relationship to the head, and it's got to be daily, your relationship to the rest of the body. May it be natural that we just love each other, that we're patient with each other, that we help each other. May we all get the revelation so the body can be held together in peace of imperfection. Let's relieve ourselves of having to be perfect. Let's all keep growing, yes, but we don't have to be perfect. And let's embrace the revelation of diversity, that there's variety here. Variety truly is the spice of life, and we're a body, and so there has to be variety. Amen? I got much more to say on this, but I'm going to stop right there. I'm glad to be in the body of Christ with you. Did you get anything at all out of this today?